Hallelujah. Well, we started 2 weeks ago a series based on Matthew 25, and once you turn there, call it the Parable of the Talents. And I really see, you know, I didn't necessarily understand everything when we started this series, how it's just so important for right now, for what's happening in this church and in our lives. But Matthew 25, we'll start with verse 14. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in the back of the pew in front of you. You can follow it on PowerPoint. You can snuggle up to your neighbor, whatever you need to do. But let's read the scripture, Matthew 25, verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And you may make a note of that he doubled. He had double. And it's interesting, this is our year of double. And so I think there's a correlation here. "And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought the 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, you have delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.'" Now let's look at verse 21. "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" Is that what you want to hear? I want to hear that when I get to heaven, but I also want to hear that now. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things." And one translation says little things. And that's the name of this series, Little Things. You were faithful over a little thing. And because you were faithful in those little things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, and I know everybody's not this way, but I want all that God has for me. And I want to be found faithful. I want to be entrusted with more. I am someone that wants more responsibility. I don't want less. And I understand in the time that we live in, not everybody's looking for more responsibility. I worked at a plant up in Johnston for an international paper, and we had a total of 8 leaders and supervisors. There were probably maybe 100 and something different employees, and I happened to be one of those leaders. And it came time, one of the leaders left, and so we had 7, and they had oversight of part of the plant and part of the operations, and it was a very important position. And so we opened up this position to those in the plant, so we had 8 supervisors, so that'd make about 92 employees, 92 different other folks that worked there in the plant, and opened up the job to see if anybody wanted that position. Not one applied. And you know, you talk to different people and they were just saying, "Well, I don't want that responsibility. I don't want that responsibility on me to lead people and all the things that go with that, and you know, the headaches of being a leader." And so what we did is we hired from outside the plant. But it's so interesting. And so, you know, you talk about here in spiritually, and I understand some people just don't want their responsibility. I want it. And I'm not like willing to do anything to get it. I mean, something dishonest. But I want to be accountable to God. I want to have responsibility. And I want to be promoted. I want to be promoted in His kingdom to be found faithful. And so if you're faithful over a few things, you'll be made ruler of much. And, you know, little things lead to big things. And we're talking about double in this ministry, double in people's lives. And so the first 2 servants doubled. Certain things about the way they lived their lives brought double. But the 3rd person who had, you know, he may not have had all the talents the others had. He had 1 talent, but he hid his talent. And the master, when he came back, was not happy about him hiding his talent. A talent is meant to be utilized, talking about money, giftings, whatever it is, to be utilized for the glory of God. And we've talked about this, so there'll be fruit for the kingdom. Not only fruit for the kingdom, but fruit that remains. How many here want to make a difference for the kingdom of God? Do you want this world to be better because you're here? Lives changed? I mean, that's what I live for. I live for lives changed, to be changed. But these messages that we've been talking about, faithfulness, obedience, and today's going to be attitude, are important for anyone involved in any organization. If you're involved in a family, in a business, you go to school, you're on a team, a member here at the church, I don't care what organization, what group that you're in, these are vital for you to know about these three things, and not only to know about, have head knowledge, but act on what you know. It's important to be obedient. It's important to be faithful. It's important to have a good attitude. Now, the first little thing that we talked about was faithfulness. And let me just add this. I tell you, these messages are awesome messages for parents to teach and train their kids. Because I don't know about you, I want my kids to go do bigger and better things than I've ever done. I want them to go on and be successful, do great things for God. Well, these are vital for our kids to know and understand. The first one is faithfulness. Faithfulness is being reliable. And as I read these words, let me, you know, ask yourself, are you a faithful person? Reliable, loyal, steadfast, devoted, trustworthy, dependable, dedicated, constant, unwavering. Someone that's faithful can be counted on no matter what the circumstances. And faithfulness is easy when things are going well. The true test of faithfulness are when things aren't going well. You ever had pressure in your marriage? Any ever had pressure on your job? Anybody ever thought, and I, don't raise your hand, ever thought about leaving your mate? Thought about leaving something that maybe God's called you to do? Pressure comes on all of us. And so the true test of faithfulness is not when everything's just going smooth. It's during the tough times. That's when we're tested as far as faithfulness. But it said, the Bible says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. The second little thing is obedience. Obedience has three parts. First of all, to be under authority. And that's a difficult one. You know, we're Americans. We don't like to be under authority. We like to do our own thing. But God's got a plan. Anybody here in the military, you know about being under authority. In order to move forward in the military, you have to be a person under authority. Well, a lot of the principles, I'm not saying everything in the military is godly, but a lot of the principles in the military are based on scriptures, based on the Bible, Bible principles. And so the first part of obedience is being under authority. Being, remember the centurion? I am a man under authority. He was talking about Roman authority. And he transferred that same attitude over into spiritual things. And because of that, he was blessed. His servant was healed. He was able to tap into God's power because he was a person that understood authority. Giving orders, but also following orders. The second thing is to listen to what your superior says. Part of obedience is listening. What are they saying? What are they asking me to do? And the third thing is not only to listen, but to carry out the order. Great obedience leads to great reward. Little obedience leads to little reward. No obedience leads to no reward. And you might, like this guy with the one talent, lost even what he had. I don't know about you. I don't want to lose all these years of things that have been built in my life. I don't want to lose those things. All right, so today, the third little thing is attitude. Everybody say attitude. Attitude. How's your attitude? Got a good attitude today? Anybody here grumpy? Anybody here mad? Disappointed? Well, these three things, obedience, faithfulness, and attitude, are so important to our lives and our walk with God. Faithfulness is showing up. Faithfulness is showing up. Obedience is your conduct after you arrive. And attitude is the expression of your heart carrying out your assignment. And the three, again, they work together. If you are unfaithful, you will lose what you're unfaithful in whatever area. Unfaithful in your job, you lose your job. Unfaithful in your marriage, you lose your marriage. Unfaithful with your kids, you lose your kids. Whatever area you're unfaithful, you'll lose that particular thing you're unfaithful in. Now, if you're disobedient, you won't enter into what God has for you. No promotion. Why didn't Moses enter into the promised land? Disobedience. And so we won't enter into God's best if we are disobedient. And the third thing, attitude. Attitude is so important because you won't be able to enjoy the blessings that you have. You remember the prodigal son? That story about the prodigal son? Well, you remember the whole thing about the older brother? The older brother was back. He was faithful. He was obedient, but he had a bad attitude. And when it came time for the party for the son that was lost, the older son was all mad and grumpy out in the field, and he wasn't able to enter into God's blessings. He wasn't able to enjoy. When you got a bad attitude, you just don't enjoy your surroundings. You got a bad attitude on vacation, you can be in the most beautiful spot in the whole world and not enjoy it. Bad attitude in your marriage, you're not going to enjoy it. Bad attitude with your job, you're not going to enjoy the blessings that come with your job. So all three of these are vital. Little things that I'm talking, they are little things, but they have a big impact on our lives. And what the Lord is saying to us is for each one of us to look at these three things in our lives and say, am I faithful? Am I an obedient person? Do I have a good attitude? Because if you're wanting double, now who here wants double in their lives? Good things now, not bad things. I'm talking about your weight, not double, you know, how much you weigh. But, you know, we say we want that, but are we willing to do the little things in order to have the big things? So, you know, they may not be, these might be the most exciting things to talk about, but they are so vital for where we're going this year and where we're going as a church. So attitude, what is attitude? Attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, one that is reflected in a person's behavior. And I like this next part, it's your posture. It's your posture, it's your countenance. You can look, you ever been at a meeting with some and someone's got a bad attitude? You ever been on a team? I mean, it just stands out, having a bad attitude. And you know, it affects their posture. I'm going to try to have a bad attitude. Look, I don't know if I can do it. Steve, can you do it? What's the... Never done it, so you wouldn't know. Okay. Yeah, it's hard when you haven't done it to try to conjure that up. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Now, anybody that knows anything about flying, and I'm not a pilot, but they have what's called an attitude indicator. In a plane, there's what's called an attitude indicator. And when you're flying, the attitude, when the plane is in the right attitude, it's going to fly with the most power. It's going to fly in the best course. It's going to, you know, the performance is going to be better. But if the plane has a bad attitude, and if it's such a bad attitude, it's going to eventually lead into a crash. So it's very important to look at that gauge of the attitude of the plane, how it's flying, whether the attitude is good or bad. And you want to have a good attitude. And so a good attitude, you look at just in our lives, a good attitude has everything to do with our performance, on how well we do in life and how well we do in our jobs. If you change your attitude, talking about for the better, you're going to change your performance. You're going to perform better. Now, attitude is an inward feeling, but it's expressed by our behavior. Again, you know, the person having the bad attitude may not recognize it, but surely everybody around that person does. We all see it. You know what I'm talking about. John Maxwell writes this: what is an attitude? He says, attitude, it's the roots. Its roots are inward, but its fruit is outward. It is our best friend or our worst enemy. It is more honest and consistent than our words. It is an outward look based on past experiences. Our attitude is the thing which draws people to us or repels them from us. It is the librarian of our past. It's the speaker of our present. It is the prophet of our future. In whatever area that, you know, that attitude, if you have a good attitude, that speaks of what's going to happen in that particular area. Now, you can have a bad attitude in one area and a good in another area. But the key is to look at all the, especially the important areas of your life. I mean, if you have a bad attitude about your lawn, I mean that's not good. Not necessarily good for, you know, look, but that's not as important as about having a bad attitude in your marriage. So you need to look at the key areas of your life. I mean, your marriage, work, school, church, organizations that you're in, family. Those are areas we want to have our attitude towards God. We definitely want to have a good attitude. I want to read from the Ben Campbell Johnson translation, Matthew 25, verse 25, and reading about, or 24, reading about the person that had the one talent that lost it. Listen to this now. Finally, he came to the person who had $1,000, and this person said, "Sir, you are a hard investor to compete with. I know you can get a return when you don't even make an investment, and you can harvest a crop without cultivating it properly. Knowing how astute you are, I was anxious about my own ability, and so I took the $1,000 and put it in a safe deposit box. Here is your original $1,000. And so this guy was defeated before they even started. His attitude wasn't even right when the master gave him the talent and he left. Right, he was defeated the moment the master left. And I find it interesting, he says, you are a hard investor to compete with. Why are they competing? Why are you competing with the master? But he's anxious, he's afraid of taking a risk, all these different things. And so his attitude is just safety, protect what I've got. And he didn't know the heart of the master, and that's not what the master wanted. And so this guy was unfaithful, he was disobedient, and he had a bad attitude, and it ends up he lost everything that he had. A bad attitude led to loss, whereas a good attitude leads to gain. And that's what happened with the two other folks. Have you ever heard the story about two salesmen who went to an island to sell shoes? I have someone, they haven't heard. Okay, so I'll tell the story then. The first salesman, upon his arrival, was shocked to realize that no one was wearing shoes. And so he sent a telegram Graham to his home office in Chicago saying, "We'll return home tomorrow. No one wears shoes." The second salesman was thrilled by the same realization. Immediately he wired his home office, also in Chicago, and he said, "Please send me 10,000 shoes. Everyone here needs them." See, it's your perspective. It's your outlook. If you expect to fail, you will fail. If you expect things to go poorly, they will. If you expect to lose, you will. Expectation. And again, attitude and faith go hand in hand. Because a person that is in faith is going to have a good attitude. Someone that's in faith is going to be confident. I mean, if you're in faith, whatever area it is you're in faith in, you're going to expect good things happen. You don't know how it's going to happen. You may not know when, but you know it's going to happen. Something good's going to happen to me. And I don't care how it looks. I don't care how bad it is. Me and my God are the majority. Me and my God, we're overcoming. And we're going to be successful. We're going to succeed. But it's all in your outlook. You remember the story about the 12 spies in Numbers? And Moses sent them out to go spy out the promised land. And you had 10 that came back with an evil report. I mean, their attitude was, these are giants. I mean, they're going to destroy us. I mean, woe is me. What are we going to do? But then you had Joshua and Caleb and said, you know, they saw the same giants, but they saw something different. And what did they say? We are well able to overcome them. People that are in God have a good attitude because they expect God to move in the area that's not going so well. They're expecting God to move in their finances, expecting God to move in their marriage. And again, it's not based on natural circumstances. Attitude is not based on circumstances. Attitude is an expression of your heart. It comes from the inside out, not outside. You don't have a good attitude because everything is going well. If your attitude is based on circumstances, it's going to be up and down. But attitude is of the heart. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. And I've been reading Philippians this week. And you know, as I've been reading it, I've been reading with this perspective that Paul wrote this while he was in prison. Not out somewhere living the big life and, you know, eating at all the, you know, the Waffle House and all the big places and going to see movies and kicking back in the recliner at home. And no, he's writing Philippians from prison. And I've never been to prison, and I don't want to go to prison, but it's a tough place. It's not a place where you want to hang out. I don't know anybody that went there willingly, unless they were messed up in their thinking. And so he writes in Philippians chapter 4, I mean, imagine this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." His perspective was to praise God no matter what the circumstances. To praise God even though he was in a tough situation. He was in a trial. In the midst of all that, he said rejoice. That's a good word for us. Attitude is something that you learn. It's something that you cultivate. It's something that you develop. Go on down to verse 11. Look at what Paul says. "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned." Attitude is something you learn. We have to learn it. We have to develop. It's not going to just magically appear. "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Paul went through various trials. He's in a trial right here. He's in prison. He's following God with all of his heart. And he ends up in jail. But he says, you know, no matter whether I'm in jail, whether I'm free, whether I'm wherever I am. Paul was someone that was beaten. He was stoned, left for dead. I mean, all kinds of situations that he faced. But yet he had an attitude of rejoicing. He had an attitude of praise. He had an attitude of expectancy. Paul learned to have a good attitude. Now I think about on my desk, I have this a little plaque that says, "It can be done." It can be done. Now, I really like that because a lot of times I don't know how it can be done. I don't know who's going to do it. I don't know when it can be done, but I know that it can be done. And so I look at that often. I look at it every time I'm in my office. Some days I look at it more. But I like this Philippians 4:13. Here's Paul saying what kind of attitude we're to have. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is the attitude of faith. I may not know how to do it. I may not, you know, in myself think I'm up to it. But through Christ Jesus, I can do it. And this is something that you need to say to yourself every day, whatever situation that you're facing, in yourself, maybe in your own abilities, maybe in your own strength, you can't do it, but in Christ you can. In Christ, we are made more than conquerors. In Christ, we've been given the victory. Not we're trying to get it, but we've already got it. We are not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. And see, like Joshua and Caleb, it's just a spirit of faith, a spirit of confidence in our God, not in our own abilities, not in our flesh, a spirit of confidence and faith in God. And so it changes our whole outlook. You remember David facing Goliath? All of Israel was afraid. They were afraid, this giant's too big to kill. But what did David say? This giant's too big to miss. He's too big to miss. And with the power of God on me, I can't overcome. Those people that rise in an organization do so with a good attitude. The promotion doesn't give you a good attitude. An outstanding attitude results in promotion. Again, attitude is not based on circumstances. It's an expression of your heart. Now, let me show you something here. You can have all the right resources, all the right tools in a given situation, but have a wrong attitude. And I have resources minus the right attitude, meaning you have a bad attitude, it will lead to defeat. Even though you have the right resources, enough money, enough equipment, all the different things, you can have the right resources and have a bad attitude, and that'll lead to defeat. But you can have a right attitude, a good attitude, and not have all the resources, minus resources, and that can lead to victory. So attitude is the thing that puts us over. It's our outlook. And, you know, I wish that, you know, we could be more honest with each other and say, hey, your attitude stinks. Did you just punch Janice? Are you trying to tell her something? Janice, you can go ahead and punch Susie now. Acts chapter 6, they had a problem with the distribution of food to the widows. And so it was a problem. And I don't know about you. Do you like problems? Do you like getting complaints? Does anybody here just love like problems and complaints and they're just like asking God for more problems? But they had a situation here and it was getting to be very divisive. And the apostles are looking at this whole thing and you know, they could have said, oh, woe is me, what are we going to do? Let's run. But what did they do? They embraced the problem. They looked to God for answers. They got the answers. They put in 7 faithful men, faithful, full of wisdom, to handle the problem. And what does it say happened? Because they handled the problem, the word of God spread and disciples were multiplied. So that anybody's a leader of every organization, don't get mad when there's a problem. Don't get mad when someone complains about you because that may be an opportunity for increase. If you'll look at the problem and have a good attitude about it, and again, not every complaint is right. Some people just like to complain. You ever met those folks? I mean, they complain about everything. They're just gripers, complainers. And I hope to God you don't live with someone like that. But they had a good attitude, and they received the complaint, looked at it, did their research, did their homework, and they came up with a plan. And because they acted on the complaint and the problem, increase came. So problems aren't bad. Again, perspective. It's all in your attitude. All right, who wants to have a good to great attitude? Raise your hand. A couple hands, okay. I'm going to give you just a few thoughts and we'll wrap this up. For a good to great attitude, some things we need to think about. The first one is we need to have right thinking. Right thinking. You're right there in Philippians. And look what it says in Philippians 4. Again, this is a great chapter about attitude. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What are you thinking about? In the area that you have a bad attitude or a good attitude, how's your thinking? You've heard that garbage in, garbage out. Good things in, good things out. Meditate on who you are, what you have, what you can do. Meditate on God's Word in that particular area. You may have a bad attitude about your marriage relationship. You need to go to the Word. What does the Word of God say? Take that Word and wash it. Wash your mind with it. Go over it and over it and over it until that attitude changes from one of defeat to victory. The second one is right relationships. Attitudes can be picked up by who you hang around with. One person in your group with a bad attitude can ruin the whole group. And so we need to look at that. You know, who are we hanging around with? The person that, you know, that we're closest to and we fellowship with, are they bringing us up or are they bringing us down? Do we walk out of there feeling good or are we feeling bad? You don't want people that you hang out with to tear you down, constantly criticizing you, talking ugly to you, how you're such a loser. I mean, that is just not conducive to a good attitude. So we need to have right relationships. The next one is right speaking. The power of life and death is in your tongue. Whatever you're saying in a particular area is going to determine how that area goes. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. You say evil things, you're going to have evil things. You plant bad seeds, you're going to have a bad harvest. If you say negative things constantly, and I'm not just saying one time, but if you say them over and over and over, finally your heart's going to believe it. And when your believer hooks up with your words, it's going to come to pass. Watch your words. Guard your heart. Our words are life and death. What are we saying? There's a correspondence between our attitude and our words. And I'll tell you another thing. Paul said it in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. You remember Paul and Silas when they were in the dungeon? They were in a horrible circumstances. What did they do? They sang hymns to God and they prayed. Their words. Their words changed that whole situation. And the power of God came. An earthquake came. The jail doors were opened. The chains were broken. So the power of our words, the power of praise. You know, when Mike was ministering, I mean, didn't you just feel just the power of God come in this place? The power of our words. And so if it's a negative situation, we need to skillfully take God's word, put it in our heart, and launch those words towards our situation. And it may not change overnight, but I'm telling you this, it will change. And it will change in your favor. God always leads you. He leads you through the valley of the shadow of death. He always leads you into good things. He leads you to His blessings. So I want to encourage you today. Maybe you're going through a trial. Maybe you're going through a tough situation. If you'll have the right attitude, the right perspective, you're going to come out of this thing strong and well and blessed. And I tell you, all I see right now, and I'm, you know, preaching here, but all I see is victory. I don't see defeat in this room. I only see victory. I see victory for you. I see overcoming for you. I see prosperity for you. I see health and healing for you. I see God's blessed for you. Praise God. Yeah. Right speaking. The next one is right location. Now, I think people have a harder time with this than any other thing that we deal with. Am I in the right place? And if you don't feel like you're in the right job, your attitude's going to stink. If you don't feel like you're in the right church, your attitude's going to stink. Right school, whatever. So you got to settle that thing. You got to settle what is going on here. Am I in the right place? And settle and say, I'm going to remain here until God tells me to move. I remember back when I was at International Paper, and I was working, and, you know, of course, we all feel like we're underpaid. I was promised a promotion and wasn't given it. Several different, you know, negative things happened. And so my attitude started to drift. And so finally it came to the place I was looking around for different jobs, and I was going to take another job with another firm and really start my own business. And it was going to be an accounting business, and I was going to go in partnership with this other guy and going to work with him for so many different years, and then he was going to give me his clients. Well, and so I went through all the different things and prayed about it and sought God and counseled all the different things, and finally came to the place to one day I'm turning in my 2-week notice. And thank God for wives. Husbands, say this. Thank God for my wife. Say that. Now say it like you really mean it. I just had this urge, unction to call my wife. So I called her and she said, call him one more time. I hadn't talked to him in a few days. Call him one more time just to make, before you turn the letter, one more time just to make sure things are right. I called the guy, and it's been like, I don't know how many years, 7 or 8 years? Longer than that, 10 years? Before, okay, over 10 years ago? Well, he still hasn't called me back. He hasn't called me in 10 years. I don't think he's going to call me. And then when he does call, I'm going to say, I got another job now. You're too late. He never called me back. This is the guy I'm going into partnership with. And so I had to step back from that situation and look at things and go, dear God, what am I doing? Get my attitude straightened out. And so I did. I made a change. And say, okay, I mean, I'm going to put my heart and soul into this job. And it's so interesting, within about a year of that time, or maybe a little longer than that, several years later, I was promoted. Got a promotion. Went to another plant. And it was from there that my job was eliminated, that I could go full-time being pastor. And I'm so glad now I got my attitude adjusted. Almost made a huge mistake. And it would have set me back years, really. That situation would have set me back years. And really, the door for it to happen was a bad attitude. It was I wasn't happy with my location. I wasn't happy with my location. It wasn't God. God didn't say go. I was unhappy. So I had to learn and make an adjustment. Settle it in your heart where God has you, and do not move until He tells you to move. And the last thing is right motives. Because it's no good to have a good attitude about the wrong thing. You understand what I'm saying? If you're being disobedient and being unfaithful, it's not going to do you good to have a good attitude about that. So you have to look at your motives of your heart and make sure it's pure. Make sure it's the plan of God. It's for the things of God. It's not just purely self-interest. That God's kingdom is first and foremost. And what are my motives? And I like what Hebrews talks about, how the Word of God is quick and living. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents. One translation says the motives of the heart. And sometimes our motives can get fuzzy. Have you ever had fuzzy motives? You think you're doing the right thing, and it ends up being the wrong thing. Because there's motives. And so motives need to be come to the surface. It's something that we want to know what our motives are. And so spending time in prayer, spending time in the Word, praying in the Spirit, those motives will come to light, good or bad. But if it's the wrong motive, and I want to know whether I have right motives or wrong motives, if it's the wrong motive, it's going to lead to bad things. It's not going to lead to prospering. It's going to lead to decrease. So if we're going to have a good attitude, we want it to be about the right things.